this is something then that's like outside the normal realm of normal Amazon type dildo stuff. Like maybe you could find like a used seller that's like price gouging it, offering it for like $1,000. But like,
David, I don't think you buy used dildos on Amazon. Or maybe you can. I'm not sure.
I did not look into that.
I wouldn't recommend it.
Well,
pretty good condition. Few scrapes and bumps, but still works.
Often bought with antiseptic wipes.
There's just some things you don't want to share, you know?
Smashing Security, episode 234. Cozy Bear, Dildo Scams, and Robo Hires and Fires, with Carol Terrio and Graham Cluley.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Smashing Security, episode 234. My name is Graham Cluley.
And I'm Carol Terrio.
And we're joined this week by a returning guest, a chap who hasn't been on the show for far too long. It's David Bisson. Hello, David.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Am I right in remembering that the last time you came on, we tried to record in like the worst storm ever?
Yes.
Sure did. Sure yeah. did. And then, yeah, like cut out like halfway before yes. in the episode.
And I think we have it live, but we have you just having disappeared and we yep. carried on.
Yeah.
We haven't done that with anybody else. So, you know, that gives you a unique quality, David.
I got to say, I feel real special about that.
Come on, it was funny.
Well, let's hope lightning doesn't strike twice, eh?
Boo. Boo.
So how's it going, David? What's going on in your life?
Just, you know, writing and doing all kinds of stuff, you know, always looking for new opportunities. So if anyone knows of any writing stuff, send it my way.
Okay.
Always looking.
Yeah, yeah. You and Graham worked together for a bit, right?
Yes.
We did. We did. We were very chummy those days.
In those days.
Graham, is he any good? Is he any good?
David's terrific.
Graham is one of the best people that I've actually had the experience of working for.
Oh,
that was
come.
That was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Wow.
I miss it. I miss it.
I can't say I share that feeling all the
Yikes.
Time.
Yikes. All right. I guess this 234, the last episode.
Moving on.
Thanks to this week's sponsor, 1Password. Its support helps us give you this show for free. So coming up on today's show, Graham, what do you got?
I'm going to be cozying up to some bears who aren't that cuddly.
Oh, okay. David, what about you?
I've got a story about dildos.
Whoa! I have to follow with, should we care that robots are firing people? All this and much more coming up on this episode of Smashing Security.
Now, chums, allow me to get theatrical for a moment. What's Montague? It is nor hand, nor foot, nor arm, nor face, nor any other part belonging to a man. Oh, be some other name. What's in a name that which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet?
Is this Macbeth?
No, Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, is it Juliet? Oh!
That's my impression of Juliet.
Oh, I should know that from Montague, actually. You're right.
That's there pretty good, I gotta yeah. say.
Thank you very much.
The dramatic pauses and everything? You seem like you've like read that before.
Well, you see, in my day...
I thought he was having trouble with the three-syllable words.
the female parts were taken by men back then, you see, so I didn't think it was that out of character for me to do it.
Yeah, times haven't changed. You're right.
They haven't really. The reason why I bring this up is it's all about names. Because I don't know about you, but I find it somewhat confusing, the naming of hacking groups.
Yeah.
And how every security company seems to call hacking groups by different names and trying to keep track.
Oh, they should be all called the same name?
Well, wouldn't that be handy? So we all knew they were talking about the same one?
Hacker 234.
And is that just like a branding thing for like the company? Like, is that just saying, oh, look at what we've done?
I think sometimes it is, because sometimes I feel like that the headline goes to the one with the grooviest name. So what I thought I would do is I would talk about a hacking group called Cozy Bear, and I am going to give you some other names used by other security companies for Cozy Bear, right? And you can tell me if this is really a name used by another security company for Cozy Bear, or one that I've added, okay?
I'm not sure I'm following you at all. Are you saying that different companies are referring to this hacking group by different names?
Correct.
And they are doing this because?
Because, dot, 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 who knows why, but they are. Maybe for convenience, maybe for marketing, maybe just because shits and giggles. I'm not sure.
Are these security companies that are doing it?
Yes, they're doing this because they can't agree on the name.
Wouldn't that be fun if, like, every journalist, like, gave it a different name? It's like Schmuggledorf.
And what then happens is that the journalists, they will say Cozy Bear, brackets also known as blah, blah, or blah, blah, or sometimes blah, blah, or blah, blah. And you end up listing umpteen names, partly for the search engine optimization. All right, so this is what we're going to do, guys. I'm going to read you an alternative name for Cozy Bear.
Okay.
And you have to tell me if it is an alternative name for Cozy Bear or one that I've made up. All right?
Gosh, okay.
Every time, it's a bloody quiz.
Carol, I'm going to start with you. Dark Halo, is that a name for...
Yes.
Yes, absolutely correct. David, Cozy Duke, is that a name for Cozy Bear? Cozy Duke.
Yes.
Absolutely correct.
Okay.
Carol, Daisy Duke.
Yes.
Daisy Duke, is that a...
Yes.
No, what?
Yes.
No, I'm afraid it's a character from the Dukes of Hazzard. David, the Dukes, is that another name for Cozy Bear?
I'm going to say no.
Do you want to have a second guess?
Yes.
Absolutely right. Crow.
Yes.
Grizzly Step.
Yes.
Absolutely correct. David, Office Monkeys.
You know, I want to say yes, but I'm going to go no.
I'm afraid it is another name for Cozy Bear.
It is, man.
Crow, Stella Particle.
I don't want to play anymore.
We're very nearly finished. Stella Particle.
No.
I'm afraid it is a name for Cozy Bear.
Good.
David, Stella McCartney. Is that another?
No.
Absolutely great. Carole, APT 24.
Well, you wrote 29 in your document, so. What?
Behind the scenes, folks.
I'm trying to catch you out. APT 29 is absolutely correct. And David, Nobelium.
That's yes.
You're absolutely right. It's not just a, what is it? It's an element, isn't it? Nobelium. I think it's named after Nobel. That is another name for Cozy Bear. Now, Cozy Bear, all of those crazy names, that's what we're talking about today, right? Not Daisy Duke. We're talking about Cozy Bear by one of those previous names, not Stella McCartney. Cozy Bear is one of the most notorious hacking gangs in the world. They are known for compromising organizations, political think tanks, and governments. Since at least 2010, they've stolen data from Germany, Uzbekistan, South Korea. They've attacked the Netherlands, the United States. They were the gang who were accused of the hack of the U.S. Democratic Party a few years ago.
Oh, yes, where they lost millions.
Yeah. And the UK's own NCSC, National Computer Security Centre.
My buddies.
They have accused Cozy Bear of trying to steal research into coronavirus vaccines from Britain, the United States, Canada.
Mm.
So, you know, they're quite, you know, you think...
Not that cozy. You don't want to cozy up to them.
Why are they... Where is this gang based? Where do they come from? And the clue is in the name. Cozy Bear. Because one of the things security companies do is they try to group hacking groups which come from the same part of the world with similar names. So if it's a Chinese hacking group, they will often call it something dragon or influential panda or something like that. And if it's Russian, then it's the bears. That will, so if you see a hacking group with bear in the name. In the UK, we just call them GCHQ. And that's how you work out what the name of the hacking group is. So Cozy Bear is a Russian hacking gang. And its work appears, this is the curious thing, it appears to support the aims of the Russian regime and the people in charge in Moscow and those of its allies as well. So it's strongly believed to be tied up with the folks at the Russian intelligence agencies. Would I go so far as to say working for the Russian intelligence agencies?
No, you would not.
Yes, I probably would. I probably would.
Gasped.
Yeah, I probably would.
No, I didn't do that. I said nothing.
Carole didn't, but I think probably. And there's good reason for that, because a few years ago, it was revealed that the Dutch Security and Intelligence Services, they actually hacked into the computer systems of the Cozy Bear hacking gang.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember
this? Yes, didn't you cover it?
I think we might have mentioned it. I mean, we've been doing this podcast for so long. Anyway, so they spied on the hackers there for at least a year, and they even managed to catch the hackers on CCTV cameras going about their work, going to get a coffee. going along the corridor because they were in these offices. And I think they sort of got hold of CCTV cameras outside the office so they could see when people were checking in.
Going for smoke and stuff.
Right. Yeah. And the time of day, and they begin to associate.
Picking their nose.
All these kinds of things. So quite extraordinary. And it's widely understood that the Dutch intelligence services, they helped America oust Crazy Bear. Sorry, not Crazy Bear. That's the name of a pub near where I live. Oust.
You hit that pub a little early today, huh, Graham?
The Crazy Bear is, you've been to the Crazy Bear, haven't you, Carol? The
of pub. Course, yes. Yeah.
They've got like a double-decker bus park.
It's for swank people. Park.
It is a bit swanky, isn't it?
Yep.
It's a little bit over-swanky.
But, too swanky for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And anyway, they managed to oust Cozy Bear. I don't know if the Crazy Bear pub is run by Russian hackers or not.
Doubt it, baby.
Yeah, I wouldn't go so far as to say that. That would be dangerous. But anyway, the Dutch spies managed to help America oust these Cozy Bear hackers from computers at the U.S. State Department back in 2014. And according to reports, the U.S. spies were so grateful for this that they sent their Dutch colleagues cake, cookies, flowers. Which is
it's what? Just, it's yeah, no, for real. So the U.S. were like, oh, thanks so much. Here's some cake.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine sending cookies to Dutch people. You know, they're going to be disappointed, aren't they, when they nibble on them?
Seriously.
Sending flowers to Dutch people. It's like tulips to Amsterdam, isn't it? It's not really.
It's like sending a Canadian maple syrup.
Yeah, it didn't really make sense, did it, for them to do that? But anyway. So you're wondering, what is the latest with Cozy Bear, also known as Nobelium, which is the name which Microsoft gave them? Well, they have been fingered for the SolarWinds hack that targeted governments and other agencies earlier this year. We spoke about that in episode 214 with Professor Alan Woodward. Let's not go into that again. But most recently, news has reached us from the chaps and chapesses at Microsoft. And Microsoft says that it has been tracking new activity by the Nobelium or Cozy Bear gang. They say IT companies and government departments, mostly in the US and UK, are being targeted, but in all, something like 36 different countries. And according to Microsoft, most of these attacks have been unsuccessful, but... Excuse me.
Oh, they got you already.
There you go.
Biohack.
But most...
They COVID your ass.
According to Microsoft... Most of the attacks have been unsuccessful. They've taken the form of password spray and brute force attacks. But Microsoft says they are aware of, quote, three compromised entities. Now, Now, this is where it gets interesting, right? Because I'm reading this Microsoft blog post, blah, blah, Nobelium, blah, blah, hackers, password spray and brute force, yada, yada, yada. I was about two-thirds of the way through the blog post. Before I came to something juicy, because there, nestled all amongst all the yada yada, you know, meh, 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 and all this, was this tiny little detail from Microsoft. Right? Two-thirds
in
of the
small,
way down.
Was it written in superscript?
No.
Subscript?
It was written in white text on a white background.
Yeah.
You have to select it with your mouse. No, it's not quite that. Not quite that. But there they said, well, so during our investigation, they said, we found evidence that data stealing malware had been found on one of our own computers.
Is that one of the entities? It's like we're aware that we've been one of those entities.
Yeah. So could you say it a bit quicker, please? Could you say it a bit quicker? Data stealing malware was one found on one of our computers. So what Microsoft said was, oh, yeah, we found some malware on the computer of one of our customer support staff, which was stealing data. Basic account information on a small number of our customers. In other words, the headline should have been,
holy fuck, we screwed up.
Well, way to bury the lead. If you've been hit, it's possible.
I like the story you're telling.
It's possible because we got hacked. So Microsoft, they say, by the way, I hate the way hackers are sometimes called actors. You know, they call them bad actors, don't they?
Oh, I don't have a problem with that.
Oh, I don't really like that. I find it confusing.
No. Oh, well, I understand, honey. It's maybe a word that the kids use.
I just always think of like Nicolas Cage or something like that. And I just think of,
Whoa.
Hang on. Nicolas Cage fan club on the line right now.
The Rock is like a cinematic masterpiece. I mean, Nick Cage, Sean Connery, like one of the best movies ever. Face Off? Come on.
I think I walked out in Face Off.
Oh, but it's so good because it's so over the top. That like fight scene at the end, it's like 15 minutes long. There are doves, there are boats exploding. I mean, spoiler, but you know.
That's the one where Nicolas Cage and John Travolta swap faces or something.
Yes, literally.
In order to pretend to be the other person. Or
it would be very useful now in this land of deep fakes and, you know, and surveillance.
Oh, my gosh.
You know? Hey, Graham, let's swap faces. I just want to go to the Sainsbury's, not be noticed.
So Microsoft, or maybe it wasn't Microsoft, right? Maybe it was Oracle. Maybe Oracle swapped faces with Microsoft. And maybe this isn't a blog post. Who knows? Who knows what we can trust anymore?
Maybe it was a typo.
Maybe. Microsnot, they say.
Never heard
anyway,
that. Funny.
They say that the bad actor used the information to launch highly targeted attacks against some of their customers. And they said, we responded quickly. And we've been in contact with those customers to explain what happened. Can you imagine that call where they ring up?
Oh, I'm sure companies do it all the time. Yeah.
Hello, oh, yes, this is the, what should we be? Should we be the Dutch government? Yes, Dutch government here. Oh, hello, it's Microsoft.
Why are we Sean Connery?
You started.
I've given up. I don't even know anymore.
Kind of embarrassing, isn't it?
What, you?
Anyway, finally, Microsoft goes on to tell everyone about the importance of best practice safety precautions to keep the bad guys out of your network, which is certainly good advice. Coming from them, so no complaints there. So well done, Microsoft, for that. But way to hide the story. I thought, yeah.
No offense, Graham, but you kind of buried the lead 2/3 down your story on this show reporting this. You did exactly the same thing. So pot kettle, dude. Don't know what else to say, but.
I'd like to say thank you for that input, Kroll, and I'll send you some flowers, cake, and cookies. To make up for it. David, what have you got for us this week?
I have something that affected me personally that happened to me a few weeks ago. So I get the spam email talking about a shipping confirmation. It looks like something that you would get from Amazon.
Okay.
And I look down and it looks like it's for a dildo. So I was like, okay, well, you know, that's interesting. I look at, it comes with this picture, you know, and just straight away,
Could you describe it for us, David?
Yeah, okay, so, I mean, it has various shapes, and there's a remote controller involved, so I...
But you can't reach?
I guess for vibration...
It looks painfully purple to me.
I don't think you can look at it whilst it's in use. Very purple.
But the interesting thing is that the way that it's marketed in the image, it looks like it's sort of superimposed on top of a sanitary napkin. Which is like really weird. Is that part of the design or like are they showing where it's supposed to go?
Yeah. It looks like a cartoon character.
The sanitary napkin?
No, the whole thing.
Does it? It looks a bit like...
It has like ears and like
eyes. I'm not going to name it.
And then a big nose.
One of you can name it. I'm not naming that character.
Like, I don't know if the connotation is right. It looks a bit to me like droopy. But you don't really want a droopy dildo, do you? But you remember the...
It's not that big a nose.
Was his name Droopy? the dog?
Oh, you're talking about Dumbo?
No, Droopy. You know.
Now that's the name for a dildo.
Yes. TM it, Dave.
I really hoped we'd raise the tone this week.
Oh, really?
David, according to this email you've received, you've paid $790 for this. And you've also agreed to pay $100 worth of shipping. How heavy is this thing? I mean,
I don't think it goes by weight.
I'm really hoping that I can like incorporate it into my workout routine. Maybe do some like shoulder presses or something with this thing. And that's really the cost was really the thing that got me. I was like,
really?
Wait a second. Like,
that's like a month's rent.
It's like, hold on, sanitary napkin. We got to look into this price thing.
So your advice to people is to sign up for Amazon Prime, I imagine, because you'd save an awful lot on the shipping if you did that.
And why $100? Like, that is insane for
you're the one who ordered it, David. Yeah, I don't know why you brought it to our podcast like this. I mean, it's just,
you know, I mean, Prime Day, man, comes around. It's like, ooh, got to jump on it. So, yeah, I looked at the price and I said, okay, I want to know more about this dildo. So, First I want to know, like, is this even a thing that I could buy on Amazon? So I said, let me go on Amazon and let me search dildos. And
what? You've entered that into Amazon?
I was logged out in an incognito window, so it has not affected my search results.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was expecting you're going to get so many recommendations if you do that. Yeah. Okay.
Nope.
Good. Sensible.
So I searched it, I filtered it by high price first, and the most expensive dildos were about like $150. So it's like, okay, this is something then that's like outside the normal realm of normal Amazon type dildo stuff. Like maybe you could find like a used seller that's like, you know, price gouging it, offering it for like $1,000. But like,
David, I don't think you buy used dildos on Amazon. Or maybe you can. I'm not sure.
I did not look into that.
I wouldn't recommend it.
Well,
pretty good condition. Few scrapes and bumps, but still works.
Often bought with antiseptic wipes.
There's just some things you don't want to share, you know?
Yep. So, okay. When I find that out, it's like, okay, so I can't buy this on Amazon. So let's actually look up the name of the company. It's referenced in the email. So I tried searching the model of the dildo. And while I couldn't find the exact model, I did find something similar. I ended up on this like bulk purchasing website. I'm not going to say which one. And I found that I could basically buy, I think I could buy like about 100 of them for about like $16.18 per unit. So a far cry from $890 for just one, you know, if like I...
It's a healthy markup.
to say the least. So I said, okay, well, then there's kind of like a model. Let's get back to the email. Let's see what I can find out more about it. So I said, like, let's look at the customer support number. I mean, that's sort of the main crux about the email. It's saying, if you haven't placed this order, call this number. So it's like, okay, what can I learn about this number? And as it turned out, you know, I just Googled it. I came up with several different reports about scams, including one regarding a fake Amazon.com order from someone named Mark Angel. So, you know, it's like, okay, well, let's look at the sender address for this email, see if anything comes up.
Yeah.
Sure enough, it comes from someone named Mark Angel. It's I'm not going to give the full email address, but it's kind of a sketchy domain name. And I looked up that email address, and there were also various spam reports using that same email address. So, you know, I didn't call the customer support number. I know lots of other people do that and have fun.
I got enough for a story here. Yeah.
You've got better ways to have fun than ringing him up, right?
Yeah, you want to play around with your new toys.
Exactly. It's already on all these bulk websites. It's like, I've had my fun. So, I mean, this came out... I got this email before Prime Day, so I'm guessing it was probably like part of like a campaign to try and say, oh, you know, call these probably like tech support scammers or something like that. Maybe someone posing as an Amazon representative to try and like steal your account credentials or maybe your financial information and all that stuff. But just as the last like, interesting, I said, is there a dildo out there that's worth $890? So I went to the interwebs to try and find out. And as it turns out, not only can you spend that much money on a dildo, you can spend much more.
Oh.
I found one the creme of the creme of dildos.
To use a phrase.
You can buy for $1.3 million.
Shut
what?
Up.
Oh, for it's, goodness sake.
It's diamond studded.
Ow! And
that sounds uncomfortable.
And it's just, you know, like finding that type of thing, you know, I just couldn't sit back like and just wonder what would my life look like if I could spend $1.3 million on a dildo?
Well,
like,
if you shoved it up your butt, you'd probably have a ripped butthole. That's what would happen.
Oh.
Well, we can bleep that out. But diamond encrusted.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's fancy living.
That is fancy living. Kim Kardashian, get in touch. We want to know.
So you've never, so you still haven't received this. Is that why you're complaining? Is that the scam?
They've
charged
upset with the
you,
color?
but not sent it through.
You really wanted electric blue. This is, you know, the purple is just putting you off. You know, you gotta wonder whether this works, right? Because if they're sending something to you, like, you know, this is obviously a fake invoice, but it's a dildo, and then they want you to call to complain, but you've got to complain about receiving this thing for a dildo, and maybe that works. Maybe that kind of social engineering.
Oh, no, I think it does, because you ring up and say, there is no way I would have ordered something like this, at least not for $790.
Exactly. Like, if it was like, you know, a shipping confirmation, if it was like a confirmation thing for like, oh, I ordered some, like, I don't know, cat food for like $60. And it's like, probably not. But like
600 rolls of toilet paper, something like that.
I guess the person on the other end of the line, they say, oh, you know, let me sort this out for you. I'm Amazon customer support. All I need is your password or all I need is
this is a delicate matter. Let me just handle it for you.
It's like, oh, we'll refund it. Just give us your payment account number. And,
So the advice is don't call the number, folks.
Don't.
I guess log into the real Amazon and you can see there if you've ordered something or not.
Yeah, that also helps. And, you know, just in general, maybe consider getting dildos elsewhere.
Yeah.
No.
And now to our sponsors. Oh, no.
No, thank God you have me as a buffer first.
Oh, yes. Carole.
Yes, Graham.
What have you got for us this week?
Well, Graham, we've done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these shows, have we not? Like, I've paid my dues, right?
So.
You've paid your dues.
Definitely.
And we've proven to be reliable, right? We get a quality show out every week.
Yeah, well, so.
Now, imagine if today you showed up 10 minutes late to our recording. Let's say you got tangled up in your curtains or something.
Okay, yes. I thought you were going to say caught short on the loo.
Right? And then you finally connect with David and I, right? And you're like, hi.
Yeah.
What would you say? You'd go like, sorry, curtain trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're supposed to know what that means.
Yeah.
I locked myself in the loo or something like that. Couldn't get out. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. And then what would you expect us to say? Go, oh, no problem.
Yeah, of
course. Fine. Glad you're here.
Yeah. Glad you're not dead.
What if I labeled you instead of being at risk of losing your job on the Smashing Security show?
Whoa. Oh,
jeez.
Right?
Thought we were buds.
Well, let me introduce you to Amazon Flex. Okay.
Hello.
So,
what's that?
So this is a delivery service that has been in the news this week, thanks to a Bloomberg kind of reportage that basically says that Amazon Flex uses imperfect algorithms to fire its employees, and there's little to no recourse. Now, before I kick off, I know this is not a brand new topic, right? People have been writing about algorithmic hiring and firing, I don't know, almost a decade, I bet. But this is 10 years on. And David, you're a millennial, if I'm correct. I think I'm allowed to say that.
Yeah.
And Graham, you're practically a grandpa. So you both hustled in your time, right? You've both hustled. You've both, you know.
What does that mean, hustle?
Yeah, I don't
know. You've worked, right? You've gone out and, you know, got jobs and done your jobs and then got paid for those jobs.
Oh, okay.
Right? In a kind of gig economy.
Yeah.
And I'd be interested to know what your thoughts are on this. Like, if this is the future of work, are you glad, Graham, you're checking out soon? Or are you looking forward to it, David?
You know something about me I don't know? What? What do you mean checking out soon?
Graham, can we stay on the topic? It's my story time.
The great podcast in the sky.
Okay, so Amazon Flex. Okay, this is this delivery service started in 2015, and its strap line is adjust your work, not your life. Okay, do it your way, drive your car, listen to your music, and get paid. And so the big sales pitch around here is that you can work when you want to, in your own car, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, I think I've got a mate who does this.
Oh, yeah?
Because the other day, I had an Amazon delivery, and he came to the door, and he handed over the thing and all the rest of it, and I said, thank you very much, and he went off. And then 30 seconds later, he knocked on the door, and he went, Graham Cluley.
Oh, yeah, I remember you telling me. Yeah, yeah.
And it was some guy who I used to know, like, 20 or 30 years ago.
Oh,
I haven't seen him since.
You did not remember his name.
I did remember his name.
Oh,
Steve.
Wow.
I knew his surname as well, but I won't say it here. But yeah, it was Steve. And so we had a little chat.
Jeez.
And I don't even live where he used to live and where I used to live ages ago. So it was a bit of a surprise. But this is what he does. He drives his car and he does Amazon deliveries. Yeah.
Okay. Well, did he meet this criteria? Because this is the criteria you need to meet to work as an Amazon Flex worker. Okay. Mm-hmm. You need a car. Okay, and it needs to be a four-door mid-size car or larger. Mm-hmm. Okay, no motorbikes, no scooters, no two doors. You need to be at least 18. They'll do a background and criminal record check on you, potentially. And you need to have business class 3 insurance, which I looked up in the UK is about, looks like the average is £550. So okay. I would be not surprised if people were paying about £1,000 a year for that.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And you need to have an Android phone or an iOS phone. And you will maybe make between 13 and 15 quid an hour, or in the States, $18 to $25 an hour. And the reason there's like this bread of money is whether you get tips or not, you might make more, right? If someone tips. But do people tip Amazon drivers? Do you tip?
Oh, no, I've never even thought of it.
People do. People do.
Do they?
Hmm. Yeah.
Wow. But what's the criterion that you use?
I know, like, because you don't know what you're getting off of half the time. So,
right.
You don't know how long it's taken. I mean, I don't know. Weird.
I don't know. We should maybe just offer cookies.
Cookies and cake and flowers.
Yeah.
Quite often I receive parcels which are actually intended for my neighbor. And so I have to complete the last bit of the delivery on the behalf of the Amazon driver, who appears to be too.
Yeah, you don't want to be out 10 quid.
Does your neighbor tip you thinking that you're the Amazon driver?
I'm wondering if I can make money from Amazon Flex for doing the final part of the package.
just get like an Amazon hat and just walk over. It's like, here you go.
Okay, now something else you need to note is they have no trouble finding contractors. That's what they call them. Mm. These are not employees, they're contractors, right?
Yeah.
So globally, 4 million drivers have downloaded the app. So who knows if they're all on the roads, but they're active on the app, including about 3 million in the States. This is according to App Annie. Okay, so let's say you wanted to be one of these drivers, right? You passed all these checks, you have an insured car, you got the app, and you basically use it like Tinder, okay? You peruse the offerings like... and they're done in blocks. So, like, let's say maybe it's 4 square blocks of a city or 1 square block of the city, depending on where you are.
When you say it works a bit like Tinder, are you sort of swiping through to see the attractiveness of the recipient and think, oh, yes, I'll deliver something for her?
Oh, gosh.
You're looking at where you have to pick up these packages and where you need to deliver them to. And you might go and you might see how much Amazon is offering to pay you. So they might say, here's 5 deliveries within this area of the city, about 2 miles from where you are right now. And we'll give you $30 minimum if you get them all delivered in time.
I think my way's better. I think if all Amazon customers uploaded photographs of themselves looking sexy and then we could get deliveries more quickly.
Yep. Nothing would go wrong. Yeah, it would be great.
Yeah. Next week's episode.
Yeah, all women right now are thinking it's fantastic.
TM is trademarked.
Yeah, it's all yours. Okay, so Graham, stay with me. You've passed all the checks. You're looking at the app and you're going, hey, there's some packages I can deliver and this is how much I'm going to get. And I've got an hour free. Let's go. And you go off and you deliver these things and on it goes. From the moment you sign on, this is according to Bloomberg, okay, quote, Flex drivers discover algorithms are monitoring their every move. Mm. Did they get to the delivery station when they said they would? Did they complete their route in the prescribed window? Did they leave the package in full view of porch pirates instead of hidden behind the planter as requested? And Amazon algorithms scan the gusher of incoming data for performance patterns and decide which drivers get more routes and which are deactivated.
Okay.
By deactivated, fired. Okay? It's a kind of
weird...
Did
they send like a Terminator or something?
Yeah.
It's like, you are deactivated.
Yes. You have imploded as far as I'm concerned.
That's really threatening language.
That what's even worse is like human feedback. So any communications with any team lead or anything is super rare. Okay. So you get these automated emails, but most of the time you have this rating system, which basically says whether you're doing good or bad. And there's four categories: fantastic, great, fair, at risk. And so every day, these you're basically obsessed with these, staying at the fantastic level.
Yeah.
And we know this from Uber and Lyft and all these kind of things.
Black Mirror.
Right? So one of the arguments is like Uber and Lyft, if you're the customer and you're in the car and there's a traffic jam, you're kind of aware that it's not the driver's fault, that there's just shit tons of traffic. So you're less likely to go 1 star. It took me 4 minutes longer than I expected. But if you're waiting for a package and it happens to be late and you decide to give a shitty rating or complain, you can get someone fired. You know how I was saying, Graham, if I just got rid of you after a little fuck up of being 10 minutes late, right, on the show?
Yeah.
So one of the stories Bloomberg talks about is this woman, Nedra, 42-year-old bus driver, school bus driver, mom of three, right, lives in Texas. And then she was making deliveries through the Amazon Flex app from 2017, you know, just to make a bit of extra money to pay for kids' activities. Pandemic hits, schools close, she doesn't have any work and has no money. But thanks for Amazon Flex, this becomes her primary income. She estimates she's delivered about 8,000 packages, okay, in that time. 8,000. Yep. So all's great. But one day, while flexing, she spots a nail in her tire. Okay, she's already picked up the packages. And she calls them and goes, I don't know what to do. And they say, you have to come and bring them back to the delivery station. And she was really afraid that it would blow her tire because guess what? That's her money, right? That's her responsibility if she fucks the whole tire. She has to pay for that, get that fixed to carry on working. But she goes because she doesn't want to lose her rating. And despite explaining the situation, her rating dropped from great to at risk. So from the top level to the bottom level, just like that. She, and it was for abandoning the route. That's why she got that thing.
Right.
So then, you know, she gets an email to say that she violated Flex's terms of service. And that's all she gets. She goes, as a result, you are no longer eligible to participate in Amazon Flex program and you won't be able to sign into the Amazon Flex app. That's it. So then you're like, okay, well, how do you say, whoa, you guys got something wrong. I did what you told me to do, right? Like, how do you, and apparently the support is just abysmal. So if you have a complaint, there's no real useful way to get an answer. So you can appeal a termination if within the 10 days, but then you send an email, no one answers. You follow up, no one answers.
Yeah, there's no money they're going to make, is there? From
exactly.
Yeah.
And after doing loads and loads of follow-up, she finally gets a message saying, we're still reviewing your appeal. Then a week later, we've reviewed the information and take another look at your history. Our position has not changed and we won't be reinstating your access to the Amazon Flex program. We wish you success in the future endeavors.
Wow.
And this woman almost lost her house, right? This was during the pandemic. No. So I don't know. Don't you think it's a bit like me getting rid of you for being late 10 minutes for a recording on episode 234? Like, it's that shitty. 8,000 packages.
Well, I don't disagree with you, but if they have, what did you say, 4 million people signed up to this Flex thing?
Worldwide, yeah.
How much resource would they have to put in to manage that manually? I don't know. And Amazon is all about algorithms, isn't it? This is how they've become such a Goliath.
And you, if you want to appeal, take it to arbitration, you can pay $200 to do that. But few do because people say it's a complete waste of time.
It's no secret to anyone that, you know, Amazon is a very curious company because in some ways it's incredible and amazing because you can buy anything there and it gets delivered really, really quickly. But I think it's no secret that they're a ghastly and horrible company to work for or work with.
Mm.
You know, it's...
There was a number of these. I went to Reddit to look around, right? Mm. And people were saying, like, I went and the roads were flooded, you know, and I couldn't get through. And I've now just been dropped in 1 hour. I was dropped from fabulous to shit. And some other guy in the notes said, I don't know why you just didn't take your shoes off and walk it over. I've done that before.
Wow.
Right? Just to keep their fantastic rating.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it just seems to me... The way they're suckering people into these gigs is by the high money at the beginning, the $20 at the beginning. But I think people are forgetting that you have to have a car, you have to have insurance, you have to keep your phone up to date, you've got, you know, and you can be dinged by factors way outside your control. and there's no real appeals process or anyone you can complain to when shit hits the fan.
Mm.
And like, why are people taking these jobs instead of working at a supermarket where maybe you get paid a little less and you don't have the flex hours? So those are the two things. You've got to, you know, you've got to be at your job at particular times if you're working in a restaurant or a supermarket or a store.
Well, I mean, I guess the advantage sometimes, like, especially, you know, if you're a single parent and it's the pandemic and stuff like that, you can try and work around, like, you know, if you're doing like homeschooling with your kids, so, you know, like a sitter or something like that. I mean, like maybe doing a 9-to-5 at a supermarket just is outside what's possible.
Yeah. And you need to have that flexibility because you don't know, or maybe you're looking after someone who's ill, right?
Sure.
And you're like, oh, they've finally gone to sleep. I've got 3 hours to go make some cash.
Yeah.
The thing that pisses me off the most about this is I went and checked Amazon's money because I was thinking, oh, maybe they're hurting, right?
maybe they're a bit hard up.
Maybe they're hard up and they're not able to pay people better and they can't. You know, so net sales increased 44% to $108.5 billion, get this, in the first quarter.
That little?
In the first quarter.
They are hurting. They are hurting.
They're rolling in it. And despite that, they're basically saying, oh, anyway, so do we need better legislation? So in the States, there's a U.S. Senator, Chris Coons. He introduced the Algorithmic Fairness Act, which would require the FTC to create rules to ensure that these algorithms are being used equitably. So there's no bias, for example, in decisions. And there's an opportunity to reverse mistakes. But apparently his proposals have gone nowhere. But recently, the UK's Trade Union Congress, TUC, warned about what it calls a huge gap in UK unemployment law over the use of artificial intelligence at work. So literally saying that AI at work could be used to improve productivity in working lives, but it's already being used to make life-changing decisions about people at work who are getting hired and fired. So that's good. I think that's good that they're acknowledging it. We need to think about what to do with these wonderful drivers. Don't you think it's time to be a bit nicer to your drivers and give them the benefit of the doubt if they're 5 minutes late? So if you're going to tip, for example, don't tip through the app. Just tip in cash, right? So that Amazon algorithms don't get to use these numbers to adjust how much you might make working for them, because that's what they're doing. They're like, on average, people get about 20 quid for, you know, a 4-hour shift. So therefore, that's how much you can make. They add it on to the money they'll give you. It's disgusting.
I don't know, Carol.
Now, I mean, is it something like if you don't tip through the app, will they interpret that as like dissatisfaction on the part of the customer?
Wow, yeah. Oh. Interesting.
See, I like where you're thinking, David. I actually thought of something else, which is I don't know when an Amazon parcel is meant to be delivered to me, right? But if someone comes to my door, knocks on my door and gives me a brown Amazon parcel, if I could give them money, I suppose. I could give them a couple of quid, say thank you very much, whatever. But maybe when I then later open that parcel, I find out, oh, that wasn't an Amazon delivery man. That's just someone who's going door to door with Amazon parcels in order to get tips, right?
Oh, yeah, right, scammer.
Am I too cynical to think this? That could
happen.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think I'm talking about the story because I think I fucked up, actually, recently. So I ordered something from TK Maxx the other day, right? An expensive thing and a not so expensive but bulky thing.
Mm.
Box arrives, I'm really nice, you're great, yay. You know, inside it is a delivery receipt for both items, but only the cheap, big, bulky thing is in there. And I freak out a bit, and I email the company. And then an hour later, the guy shows up with the other package.
Oh.
The expensive thing arrives, but it also has an invoice for both items in that box.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like a muppet because obviously I emailed them back right away saying, stand down, all's cool. But what if that doesn't matter? It's just an algorithm that goes, oh, complaint, bye, John, or whatever.
Yep.
It's too awful to think. Anyway, there you go. Cheery note to end on.
Well done. Ruined someone's life. Well done.
Thanks. I know. It's the worst.
Smashing Security is sponsored this week by the experts at 1Password. Did you know that almost two-thirds of all IT workers admit to reusing enterprise secrets between different projects, creating a potential gateway for attackers? 1Password's new research report, Hiding in Plain Sight, reveals the breadth and depth of mismanaged business secrets like code, passwords, credentials, and keys, and that secrets mismanagement is the next big cybersecurity threat. Learn more by reading the full report at 1Password.com/resources. And thanks to 1Password for supporting the show. And welcome back. Can you join us at our favourite part of the show? The part of the show that we like to call Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Are you all right, David? Pick of the Week is the part of the show where everyone chooses something like that. Could be a funny story, a book they've read, a TV show, a movie, a record, a podcast, a website, or an app. Whatever they wish. It doesn't have to be security related necessarily.
Better not be.
Well, my pick of the week this week is not security related. I don't know if listeners have picked this up. David Kroll, maybe you have, maybe you haven't, but I consider myself very much a Renaissance man. I'm a fine athlete.
I've always thought that about you.
An excellent scholar. I have an ear for music, a talent for art, and a way with the ladies. And I think I'm the all-round package. But then I come across other people with talents as well. People who maybe are even more artistic than me. David, I invite you to visit a website. Type it into your browser right now. And you listening at home.
I feel like this is just social engineering.
Why can't I go visit?
You can as well, Kroll, if you wish. If you wish to, you can. Listeners, don't do this if you're driving your car or in charge of heavy machinery. Wait until you're in a safe place and then go to a website called Kroll. Kroll.wtf. Not .com. Kroll, so that's Carol with an E on the end. Kroll.wtf. I don't know what WTF stands for. Give it a try. And what you will find there, what you will find there is a website of art from our very own Kroll. How do you spell, how do you pronounce your second name? Thriot. Terrio. Kroll Terrio.
You can find out on the homepage.
Yeah, it tells you how to say it. It doesn't tell you how to say Kroll.
Oh, wow. These are incredible.
Shut up, Dave. Keep going.
No, looking at the one, like, I'm looking on the art gallery one, like, the first one with the field and, like, the color, like, it's, this is awesome.
Ah, you see?
So the lighthouse?
Kroll, for the last couple of years, maybe, has been painting.
Oh, Mindscape? Mindscape? Oh, so cool.
Dave, I love you.
And she sends them to me and some of her other friends, and she's quite clever. But Kroll is a little bit shy. You wouldn't know that. But this website has just been created with amazing artwork. Who could have known she was so talented? Kroll.wtf is my pick of the week.
Oh, now I feel like a dick for being a jerk to you the whole show.
I think you should.
I do.
Jeez, this is incredible.
Isn't she clever? I mean, it is amazing because if I tried to paint something, it would look like someone in a straitjacket had painted something with a paintbrush shoved between his teeth. That's how my painting would look. It would look like a two-year-old.
It's really weird seeing them because they're all obviously physical, real paintings, not digital paintings, right?
Yes.
So it's kind of weird seeing them up here and looking at them like this. But it's very exciting. It's just scary as shit. You know?
It'd be cool, like, you know, maybe you could have like prints and stuff, or like people could like order some.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Like I would order like Gold Country. I mean,
would
that's
you?
Like,
oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah, you could put these up on Redbubble, maybe, Kroll. You could get prints. Maybe some people would like them on their T-shirt.
I'm open to advice on this, if there's any artists out there that want to recommend if I do this. But I was thinking Society 6 is the one I was thinking about.
Oh, I don't know. I think Mindscape, that could be on the cover of a prog rock album.
It could.
Greg the Goat could be on the cover of maybe a yogurt or something like that in the supermarket. I mean, some of them are funny, some of them are spooky. Kroll.wtf, have I mentioned the domain name? What made you choose that domain name, Kroll?
It's very easy to remember.
Okay. Yeah.
So,
appropriate for you as well.
Well, yes, and you won't forget it.
Very cool.
Thank you, okay, that's really sweet.
David, what's your pick of the week?
All right. Well, there's a new album that came out earlier this year. It's by this artist called Porter Robinson. That's his name. It's sort of like
calling it EDM sort of reduces it, because there's a lot of other influences that go into it, but it is electronic music. So he came out with this new album this year called Nurture, and it's just incredible. Like, you know, if you're, I mean, especially with it being summer, and if you're just like chilling and stuff like that, like just putting this on and just like sort of losing yourself for an hour while you're like, you know, just staring absentmindedly outside is an afternoon well spent.
Cool.
I find myself like constantly listening to certain songs, like Look at the Sky, Wind Tempos, Something Comforting. Like, it is truly incredible. So can't recommend that enough. Really, just give it a listen.
He's got a very slick website.
Seriously.
A lot more whiz bang than me, I tell ya.
So I'm Porter Robinson. I've just been reading about this. He describes the music as quite melancholic. Is that right? A lot of pain and sadness. Is there some of that going on with it?
Yes, a lot of nostalgia in it.
Yeah. What's wrong with? There's nothing. You like sad music, Graham?
Oh no, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it.
I love this. I'm totally going to turn this on tomorrow when I do my little painting time and check it out. That's how I'll do it. See what happens.
Fantastic. Carole, what's your pick of the week? Is it, in fact, your website?
No, I wasn't going to do it. I'm too scared. Okay. Mine is a show called Ways of Seeing. This was in 1972. Graham, did you have pubic hair by then? I don't know.
Goodness sake.
1972.
Yikes. That's a question.
Ways of Seeing, 1972 television series, okay? Four-parter, 30-minute films each. They're created by John Berger and producer Mike Dibb. This was broadcast originally on BBC Two, and it was adapted into a book of the same name. Now, you can find these shows on YouTube, and my advice is run, don't walk, to watch this. It is, to me, like quintessential viewing for anyone who is a bit of a creative. It will make you think about what you see, how you see, and how the very act of looking is effectively political. And I can see Graham right now is rolling his eyes.
No,
right?
Not at all.
I've
watched this video. I've
have
seen this chat.
You?
Yes, and it's fascinating. He seems an extremely interesting person.
He is.
I would thoroughly recommend people watch this video.
Cool. Okay, well, so it's a bit like the best way to explain it is if, say, for example, I wanted to see David by Michelangelo, the statue, and I decided to do a pilgrimage to Florence to see it in person with my own eyes, and you know, and I spend the money, plan the trip, all the shit, and that will have an entirely different experience to me seeing a thumbnail image of it in my browser. Right? But both people have seen the image or have seen it in some way. So he kind of discusses all this. And the one thing I learned today is this series is said to have introduced the term male gaze during the series. And feminists took hold of it. And anyway, I just think it is incredible. There's a book as well that talks about the same issues. And there's a few more essays in it. Some of them are just visual essays. So if you love art or know anyone that loves art and you want to support them, this, you can obviously just go to my site and say it's great, or you can read and watch John Berger's Way of Seeing, and it'll help you communicate and talk with them and support them. So there you go. That's my pick of the week.
Awesome. Fantastic. What a cultural clasp of picks of the week we have had this week. I think we've all done jolly well. And that just about wraps up the Hutch Show for this week. David, I'm sure lots of our listeners would love to follow you online and find out what you're up to. What's the best way for folks to do that?
So you can find me online, you know, with Twitter. I'm at DM Bisson. You can find me on LinkedIn. I'm there too, and just write regularly for like IBM and Zix and all these other companies. So, you know, if you want to hit me up, and if you have any jobs or anything like that too, I'm always looking. So, you know, reach out. You know, I'm available.
Do it, people. He's great.
And you can follow us on Twitter at @SmashInsecurity. No G. Twitter wouldn't last to have a G. And you can join us as well on our Smashing Security subreddit. And don't forget, to ensure you never miss another episode, please follow Smashing Security in your favorite podcast app, such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Pocket Casts.
And thanks to this week's episode sponsor, 1Password, and to our wonderful Patreon community. It's thanks to them all this show is free. For episode show notes, sponsorship information, guest list, and the entire back catalog of more than 234 episodes, check out smashingsecurity.com.
Until next time, cheerio, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Excellent, guys. Well done, David. Well done, Graham.
Yay.
I'm sorry you can't hear each other. Okay.
Oh, he can't hear me either?
It's almost like better this way.
Yeah, he can't hear you. You can't hear him. And I'm...
Yeah, I don't have to listen to Graham prattle on. I mean, it's...
Graham, he just said you were amazing and he misses your voice.
David, you were awesome too. Thanks so much.
Graham says you're a shitbag. So, there you go.
That's amazing.
Hey everybody, Carol here. This week, I thought I would share with you how the sausage is sometimes made at Smashing Security. We had a bit of a snafu, but I think we've hidden it fairly well. I don't know why I'm telling you about it now, but maybe because it's funny. So, while we were recording this episode, we just finished up David's pick of the week. And suddenly, David and Graham could no longer hear each other. Listen to this. You guys can't hear each other.
Oh, David Bisson has left.
Oh, no, I can't hear anything with Graham.
Okay, well, look, this will maybe work. Graham, go to my story. Okay, we'll say it's amazing. Go to me. We're going to crack this on. We can do this. We're all recording locally, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Should we try?
Yeah, but don't we want David on the call, on the recording?
We're so close.
I can hear David. So, basically, we carried on recording the show with me as the proper middle woman. Fun. Maybe you want to re-listen and see if you can spot it. But, you know, we're pretty profesh. As always, thank you to all of you for your support and kind words. It means the world. See you guys next week.